You who do not know who I am, my name is Al Kiper, and we used to, some years ago, used to worship here, and as a matter of fact, I even led the worship here. I served as a pastor here for some years, and some of you remember that, and just see a few faces that I don't know, and I would imagine, therefore, you do not remember that that we served as pastor here, but it's good to be here. We've made some good friends here over the years, and it's always a joy, always a blessing to come back here and worship at Crossroads. I know that we're in the middle of a series here right now, and it's really been my prayer. I really feel blessed in being part of this series. My prayer is, I don't really know what has been said before. I know somehow that 8 minus 6 equals 4. Somehow, I don't know where that comes from, but I've heard some stories about that already. But God is, and God speaks. And now this morning we're going to kind of pursue and give some thought to what does it mean that God creates, that God makes. And as a way to begin that, I just invite you to stand before the presence of God as he calls us into his presence in the words of Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord God is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. We stand in the presence of our God, and we lift our hearts and voices to him in thankful praise for all that he is, for all that he has spoken, and for all that he creates. Let's sing our praise to God.
How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. For my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied. Within your presence I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. There is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, a thousand elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, a thousand elsewhere, a thousand elsewhere. One thing I ask and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day in your heart, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, a thousand elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, a thousand elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God, your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen, come once again to me. I will draw near to you, I will draw near to you, to you. There is one day, there is one day, there is one day, thousand else. Better is one day, better is one day, better is one day than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your course, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your course, thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts, than thousands elsewhere, than thousands elsewhere.
People of the Lord Jesus Christ, our help is in the name of the Lord, who hath made heaven and earth. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the presence of our awesome God, take a moment to greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Good morning again, and good morning to you.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's a way to measure what you're worth. Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose
trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all.
Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything. His name is higher, higher than any other name. His power is greater, for he has created everything. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything. Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything.
His name is higher, higher than any other name. His power is greater, for he has created everything.
Mighty is our God, mighty is our King, mighty is our Lord, ruler of everything. Glory to our God, glory to our King, glory to our Lord, ruler of everything. Ruler of everything, ruler of everything.
When it seems as if we wake up to a very bad, horrible, terrible day, just kind of wondering, does God hear? Does God see? Does God know? Does God care? And always whenever we ask those questions on a terrible, horrible day, Scripture speaks to us that God is. It reminds us that God is created. Just would like to have you take some time just to reflect on what that means in your life. Maybe some of you, maybe someone here this morning has awakened to a very bad, horrible, terrible day. Or maybe you can remember recently going through such a day. I just want you to focus your thoughts for just a moment on how God's, in his entire word, simply points us to the stars, points us to his creation, that is filled with majesty and glory and beauty, and then says to you, do you not see? Do you not know? God is the everlasting Lord. From Our World Belongs to God, Contemporary Testimony, in the emboldened words, just invite you to respond as God's people. And so we begin calling out to God, one another. Our world belongs to God. Our world belongs to God, not to us or earthly powers, not to demons or fate or chance. The earth is the Lord. In the beginning, God, Father, Word, and Spirit called this world into being out of nothing and gave it shape and order. The earth is the Lord's, and our world belongs to God. God formed the land, the sky, and the seas, making the world a perfect home for plants and animals and humans that he created. The world was filled with color, beauty, and variety. It provided room for work and play, for worship and service, for love and laughter. And then God rested and gave us rest. In the beginning, everything was very good, and our world belongs to God. That's going to be our focus this morning, how Scripture simply begins with this astonishing, disturbing reality of truth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let's sing in response to God. As we receive our offerings, the deacons come forward and receive our offerings for the Christian Reform Safe Church Ministry. And as we receive the offering and singing and praise to God, just invite you to pass the friendship folders down the aisle. If you are a visitor here, we are delighted that you are here. It is our desire and prayer that we together may lift our voices and our hearts in glad praise, in thankful praise to our God.
Of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
The flag is here, and for all the children who would like to participate in children's worship this morning, we invite you to come forward and follow the flag. And while they're doing that, I think we have a couple of announcements that need to be made. And while the children leave, and can I just have a prayer with the children in a minute while they go? Now, all you children are going to children's worship. I'm going to sit down here for just a moment. Can we just close our eyes and fold our hands? We're just going to have a prayer minute, okay? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for each boy and for each girl here in worship this morning. We just pray now that as they go to children's worship, that you would open the word to them and speak to them in their language, in their words, that they may know you more clearly and love you more dearly. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And announcements. I think there are a couple of announcements that need to be made. Well, follow the flag over here, over there. We do have one more announcement. I think Karen Algersman is worshiping with us this morning. She's serving as a missionary in Monterrey, Mexico. And she would just like to introduce herself and say a couple of things about her ministry. Thank you, Tim. I want to try something. I haven't really prepared this, and I just thought, just to kind of get your involvement, participation a little bit, for any of you, or maybe all of you, if you've ever had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, would you just stand for just a moment? All those who've ever had a very bad, horrible, terrible, no good, very bad day, if any of you are still sitting, I don't believe you. You may be seated. I need a couple kids just to help me for just a moment. Three or four kids, any ages. You can, just come up here. If you're ready to help me, just come up here for just a moment. Wow. Wow, these are a lot of kids. That's good. I need someone to be the sun. Ah, very good. You got to hold the sun up high. Okay. I don't know how many planets are there. 12 planets? You think? I need someone to be the planet Mars. Okay, we're going to have, you want to help me be the planet Mars? Okay, I want you to take 10 steps from here. Just walk, start here. And count, we'll count. Okay, no, really kind of big steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 more steps. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right there. Okay, here's the planet Mars. Just hold it between your fingers and hold it up high. Show everybody the planet Mars. Okay, now we need the planet Venus. Yeah, we'll give you the planet Venus. Okay, we need 9 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Right there. Here's the planet Venus. Can you hold up the planet Venus? Maybe all of you can just turn around here for just a moment. Planet Venus is right there. Now we need the planet Earth, right there. Yeah, I don't know. Yep. Yeah. What's your name? Say that. Carson. Okay, Carson. Now, unfortunately, here, I'll give you the planet Earth. Just hold. You show everybody the planet Earth. Okay? Now, can all of you look at the planet Earth here just a moment? If you look really closely, maybe you can see Des Moines. And really closely, maybe you can see your house. Okay? Now, Carson, we're going to open the doors here just a moment. And you're going to have to walk downtown. Oh, no, not quite that far. 7 steps. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, right there. You can turn around, Carson. Okay, now, people, if that is the sun, I just want you to imagine that when our problem seems so huge, how terribly, terribly small and little you really are in all that God has made and all that God has created. Okay, Carson, you can come back. We'll let you come back. And can I have the planets back again? Very good. Thank you. And there's the planet Mars. I'm sorry, that would be the planet Mercury, wouldn't it? I was mistaken. The planet Mercury. Very good. Okay, you can be seated. You can be seated. No, just go back to your parents. Please. And the sun is here. Thanks, son. I do have the planet Saturn and the planet Jupiter in size comparison to the sun. But Jupiter really, literally, would be almost a half a mile away from the sun. And I didn't think the kids, I didn't think your parents would want the kids to be walking out there. I just want you to reflect for just a moment. If you have your Bibles open to Genesis 1, verse 1. Why does the Word of God begin with this way? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Maybe you know the story of Alexander, children's story written some years ago, about how Alexander woke up one morning to a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. The gum that he had in his mouth when he went to bed was now stuck in his hair. And when he got out of bed, he tripped over his skateboard. And he got ready for school. He dropped a sweater in a sink full of water. That's how his day began. And I think it's just kind of interesting that somehow that story has caught the imagination of kids and adults as well. Because the things that Alexander experienced are really kind of trivial, really. But what if you were a slave in Egypt, and the only life you knew from day to day was getting up at sunrise and doing all the work demanded of you as a slave, or else being beaten bloody red every day of your life? Or what if you've read some of the blogs and some of the internet postings of Joel Veltkamp? What if you were a citizen in Eastern Africa, snatched away, abducted from your home, and forced into slave labor for the rest of your life? Or what if suddenly you go to the doctor one day and says to you, "I hate to say this, and I'm really sorry, but you do not have much longer to live." You read Psalm 14, read Psalm 22, and all throughout the history of mankind, from generation to generation, you hear the echoes of the anguished cry of the Savior, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I don't know if you've ever had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. All of you, I think, stood up. You know what God does in such a moment in our life? God says, "I know you're having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. And I know you're asking questions. I know you're asking, does God see? Does God hear? Does God know? Does God care? And God says, I want to remind you how small you really are and how big, how awesomely big, how immeasurably big I am. Isaiah 40, God says to a very discouraged people, look at the stars. Who do you think made all these? And I want to take you on a little journey. Again, just to set in your mind how really, really small we are and how awesomely, immeasurably big God is. A map of the United States. I do have a little red dot about where Des Moines is. I don't think we can see it on this map. But you know about where you live, how big the United States is. Going a little further out into the solar system, how beautifully and how huge the world is. But then relatively to the planets, how Earth begins to seem quite small. Earth here is kind of marble size. And then we're going back out further into the planets, how beautifully God has set the planet Saturn in space. And it's something with my telescope that always brings me to a point of silent worship. But then in comparison to the size of the sun, how you can almost no longer see planet Earth. And then what really is astonishing, unbelievably astonishing, how huge the sun is. But then, in comparison to some of the huge, enormously huge stars, how small the sun is. The sun here underneath Betelgeuse and underneath the big star on the left, you cannot see the sun. The sun is only one tiny little pixel. And that all is simply part of the solar system or the galaxy that we know as the Milky Way galaxy, kind of a bar galaxy. And here you cannot even see where the sun might be, where the solar system might be. And so when you have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, God says to you, I want to tell you a story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I just want you to put your bad day in the context of that verse. Any day that you might have said, the problems in my life are so huge, I can't live with this anymore. I don't know how I'm going to survive. I don't know what I'm going to do. God, do you care? Do you see? Do you know? God says, it's all a matter of perspective. As a message of hope. for those who struggle to survive in a world of meaningless chaos and conflict. Maybe you've read some of the cries of despair that's beginning to come out of the Middle East, out of the nations of Africa. Maybe you have a friend, maybe you have a neighbor, maybe someone you dearly love, who's really beginning to wonder, how am I going to survive? I don't know how much longer I can take this. And all the while God is saying, I want to tell you a story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I want you to imagine for just a moment, walk with me in that first verse of Genesis 1. Imagine that you were born and you were nurtured and you grew up in a world in which you had no idea. You had never heard about God. But all you knew is that somehow the sun and the moon and somehow the trees and the oceans and the lakes and the things that you see around you, that somehow they seem to have a majesty, somehow they seem to have an influence in your life, and somehow inside of you there's this compelling desire to worship something. And so you worship the sun, you worship the moon, you worship the night sky, you worship anything and everything around you. And you grow up in a world filled with many gods with limited power, petty, jealous, and all kinds of bizarre morality. And somehow you know that as you live in this world, as you live in this messed up world, you try as hard as you can to placate, to appease, to manipulate the gods to your advantage. You make all kinds of sacrifices, all kinds of offerings, even human sacrifices. Imagine now Moses in the wilderness hearing the cries of the people, why did you take us out of Egypt? Did you bring us out here just to die? And by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Moses begins to write a story. A story that they had never heard before. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now we live in a messed up world, and there is the atheist who says, there is no God. Or the humanist says, mankind is God. Or the New Age pantheist who says, everything is God. Or the egotist who says, I am God. But now in your handout, in your notes this morning, you see how Christians around the world have wrestled with the idea, okay, we live in a world that God has created, but the evidence of science and all the scientific discoveries tell us that the earth and the universe is millions of years old. And somehow, it's our impression that the Bible says the earth might be relatively young. How do you weigh what the Bible says with what science says? You see the various ways in which Christians have responded to that with all kinds of variations of creationism. Whether or not the earth is young, relatively young, 10,000 years old, and the flood that happened in the time of Noah has caused all that we see that makes the earth appear to be ancient and old, all the fossil records and everything else, or scientific creationism or progressive creationism, all the ways of Christians trying to understand how do we come to know what it means that God has created, that God has made everything that exists. We know that God reveals himself in creation. But now we also know that God speaks his word of revelation. So now here we sit and trying to understand what it means that God has created. I think it's interesting that I think God has said, okay, I'll let you try to figure that out. It'll draw you into the majesty. It'll draw you into all that I have made. You'll look at the wings of an ordinary housefly and you find incredible beauty in the wings of an ordinary housefly as you look through a microscope. Or you pick up a painted box turtle and look on its belly plate and you'll begin to wonder, how in the world does such a creature have these beautifully intricate patterns on a belly plate? Or you see a bat flying around in the air and you wonder, in the night, and you wonder, how can a bat fly through the night without running, without bumping into things? Oh, you discover a bat has sonar. Isn't that strange? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? And God is saying to every one of us, no matter where you look, no matter what you do, no matter what you see, you'll see God's majesty displayed, lavishly displayed. And every time I look at the planet Saturn through a telescope, I cannot help but think, God, this really is kind of crazy. That planet's been sitting up there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. But it's only in the last 100 years, 200 years, that we've seen how beautiful the planet Saturn is. God said, yeah. I just want you to know that the world belongs to me. You may look at a world that is all messed up and you'll say, where is God? Does he see? Does he hear? Does he know? Does he care? God says, no. Way back in the beginning, it was all good. And God begins to unfold the promise that because we live in a world that belongs to God, we can trust him. Jesus says in Matthew 6, why do you worry? Look at the birds of the air. They toil not, neither do they sow not, neither do they reap. They don't even store in barns, yet Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Or look at the flowers of the field, the lilies of the field. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And to people sitting on a riverbank in exile, God speaks his word to them in Isaiah 40. Look at the stars. Look at the heavens. I've made every one of those stars, and I call them out each. I call them out one by one, and I give a name to each one of them. By my strength and by my great power, not one of them is missing. Why does God begin? Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created. It's a message of hope for each one of you here this morning. When you come to a point in your life, my problems, are so huge. I don't think I can go on. And God says, no. Let's just sit down for a moment. I want to tell you the story again. You sit down with God. And he says, in the beginning, it was good. God said in the beginning, I said in the beginning, God says, let there be day and night. Let there be sky and water. Let there be land and seas. Let there be sun, moon, and stars. Let there be birds and fish. Let there be animals. And let there be one created in my image. And the echo of Genesis 1, and it was good. And it was good. And it was good. And it was good. And you sit there with your life, with your problems, with your worries, with your anxieties. Say, okay, I understand that, Lord, that in the beginning it was very good. And I know that when I look at the majesty, when I look at the glory that is so heavy in all that you have made in all of creation, I just need to know that when I think my life is all messed up, when I see how a world is embroiled in all kinds of conflicts in the Middle East, in Africa, in Crimea, in Russia, in Ukraine, along the border between New Mexico and the United States, when I hear all the news and all the atrocities and all the murders and all the violence, Lord, we live in a messed up world. And my life isn't so good either. God says, that's why I tell you the story of creation. That you need to know that when you are convinced that everything is messed up and everything is out of control and the bad guys are winning, I want you to know that all things are in my hand. That we live in a world that God has made for us, and he made this world that we call home as a perfect place for us to live. From him and through him, and to him are all things. That's the testimony of Scripture. The testimony of God's Word. That he points us to the stars, he points us to the heavens, he points us to creation. Do you see? Do you hear the songs of praise all around you? How the termites making their way through, hopefully not your house, but how they beat their head in a drum beat in the dark of their tunnels. How the birds sing in praise to God. How the whales in the ocean call out to one another. God has made us. We are his creatures. How the bleating of a sheep is a song of praise to the Lord. How every song that belongs to creation reminds us again that in the beginning it was all good. How the entire universe is created to respond with songs of praise, and we are created to join the praise because everything is good. But the problem is, and I just want to draw you in your own personal life. sometimes our messed up, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days are caused, happen because of the world in which we live. But sometimes our terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days happen because we make unwise, unbiblical, rebellious against God decisions. And so the song of creation, in many ways, has been silenced. And the cry of a baby, whether in Africa, in the Middle East, becomes the moan of a starving child. And the song of those who've now advanced in years only becomes the murmuring whispers, the mumbling whispers of those now dealing with dementia in one way or another. And all around us we can hear and see creation groaning and waiting for the day when it will all be made new again. How the Genesis story then reveals the deep desire of God to be loved by those he's created to be lovers of God. Let us create man in our own image. God loves his creation. But he lavishes even greater love on us by giving his Son that we may love him with all our heart. But now the question is this. And whatever horrible, terrible, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day that you may have had in the past, or that you may even have today, and you could be of any age, maybe you're in the fifth grade, and last week at school just did not go very well at all, or maybe you're a junior in high school, you look at how confusing life is. Yeah, I'm not having a very good day. Or maybe you're dealing with the growing presence of arthritis. Or anything else that makes for a very bad day. God says, the story begins in Genesis. And it finds its way through all the history of mankind to the very center of history, to the cross of Jesus Christ. And God is saying, look at the heavens, look at the stars. My glory, my majesty is all around you. But now I want you to look at the cross. And always in every day of our life, God is saying to us from the very beginning of Genesis to the very end of Revelation, in all of his creation, in every word that he's ever spoken, God is saying to you each and every day, do not be afraid. God is never blind to your tears. He is never deaf to your prayers. And he is never silent to your pain. The lowest moment in my life, God is my hope. In the darkest day of my life, God is my light. In a day when I feel I'm at the weakest, that I cannot go on, I cannot stand another day, I don't know how I'm going to survive, God is my strength. When I'm overwhelmed with the sadness of life, overwhelmed with grief and sorrow and pain and misery. God says again, let me come alongside and let's talk. I want to embrace you. I want to hold you close. I want you to know that you are my daughter, that you are my son. And I love you so much. I would do anything as your creator, as your father, as your heavenly father. I would do anything to take all the mess, all the misery, all the pain of your life and lay them on my one and only son, Jesus Christ. I want to make your life very, very good. I just want you to sit for just quietly for just a moment. Do you know what it means? In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, when Jesus says, everyone that the Father has given to me, I hold, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. And the Father has given them to me. And then Jesus says, I think with a little smile across his face, he is so powerful. He's so full of majesty. He's so full of wisdom. And I want you to know that not only can they not snatch them out of my hand, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So just quietly in closing, I just want you to reflect. Do you know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He does not grow weary. He does not grow tired. And he holds you. He holds you in his hand. In the beginning, God created. And then he loved you and made you new in Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we do live in a messed up world. We are surrounded by pain, misery, suffering. We hear the news of atrocities, unspeakable atrocities. We need to know again that we also live in a world that you have created, a world that you hold in your hands, that the world is groaning for that day when you will come again and make everything new and very, very good. But Father, I pray for each one here this morning in worship. If anyone here is having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, by your Holy Spirit, sit down with them and tell them your story one more time. And speak your words from the very beginning, that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, come to dwell in the flesh. Jesus, hold us. Father, hold us. O Holy Spirit, live within us. Fill us with love and joy and peace, that we may love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and that we may love our neighbor as ourselves. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Just invite you to stand as we prepare to leave the presence of our holy God, to serve him in all the ways that he calls us to serve him as the presence of Christ in a broken world. And again, as you leave the presence of God, I just invite you to open your hands and receive God's blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and rain down upon you and fill you with all love and joy and peace. Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb. is the Lamb.